Hello and welcome to Season 12, Episode 16 of the Ubuntu Podcast. In this week's episode, we're going to be talking to Martin Dougiamas about Moodle. We'll also have some command line love, and we'll go over your feedback. I wonder what you've been telling us about since our last show. Joining me this week is Martin.
Hello.
And back with us again, because Alan is still on his travels, is Stuart Langridge.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us, Stuart. How are you doing?
I'm great.
Excellent. Martin, what have you been doing in the last week or so?
I have been watching videos about flat earthers and something I didn't even know existed, space deniers.
Okay, what's a space denier?
Somebody who denies space exists.
What? they're not denying we've been into space. They're denying it's there at all.
Yes. Yes. So these are the
crystal spheres or what have you.
Yes, you know, the firmament and all of that sort of stuff. You know, the stars are lights in a body of water suspended above us in a dome.
Wow. That sounds neat.
This all sounds ridiculous. Some years ago, I was being heckled about my technical decisions with regard to Ubuntu Mate by somebody who was impossible to, exchange any sort of reasonable discourse with. And I discovered through their Google Plus profile at the time that they were a flat earther. And I had never encountered that expression before. This was like 4 years ago. Once I understood what their belief system was, I just decided I can't win an argument with this person if they actually believe this. So I just disengaged from them. But I was shocked that, you know, people believe the Earth is flat. Equally shocked when I found out what space deniers were. This all came about because I got recommended channels to watch in my YouTube, thing when I was watching. So I've been watching videos by a guy called Simon Dan, who's from the UK, and he's a scientist, and his whole purpose is to find videos on YouTube by flat earthers and conspiracy theorists and then explain why their explanation is wrong with actual science and maths. And then there's another guy also based in the UK who's a physics teacher, and he runs a channel called Conspiracy Cats. And he does the same thing. I've watched a few videos from a guy in America called Bob the Science Guy, who also does the same sort of thing. There seems to be this sort of a group of scientists and mathematicians who have channels to respond to the factual inaccuracies of the flat earthers and the space deniers and various other things.
Sort of anti-science.
Yes, and I found it fascinating, not only the incredulity of some of the claims of, you know, some of these people that do believe the Earth is indeed flat, but also these response videos that Simon Dan and Conspiracy Cats do are extremely witty and educational, and I've had some of my almost forgotten learnings from maths and science from school brought back to the forefront of my mind. So I've been watching these with great enjoyment for a couple of weeks now, and I think they're fabulous. So if you're looking for a new channel to follow, Simon Dan Conspiracy Cats are pretty fantastic.
Well, here is a brief question before we move on. Are these videos popping up in the feeds of flat earthers? Or put another way, are you seeing a bunch of actual flat earth videos now popping up in your feed?
I'm only seeing videos from other debunkers of flat earthers and space deniers showing up in my recommended feeds as a result of watching these three channels. So another set of videos I watched was from a guy called Professor Dave, and his videos that debunked flat earth were amazing, like a quality science documentary, you know, explanation of going through the whole belief system and why all of these things just do not work. But then most of these people are actually blocked from the flat earthers channels. So they have difficulty actually sort of monitoring what's going on. But occasionally they get involved in live debates. So you have these live debates with the scientists and the flat earthers, and hilarity ensues.
Yeah, well, I might have to check some of that out. Anyway, let's get on with the rest of the show. Now, you might be expecting us to be doing an interview with CEO and founder of Moodle, Martin Dougiamas. We did have quite a nice chat with Martin, but unfortunately the technology let us down and the audio we recorded wasn't usable. So, in place of that interview, Alan has joined us on hiatus from his travels to have a bit of a chat with us. Hello, Alan.
Hello, chaps. This is weird.
Yes.
Isn't it? Who are you?
Oh, it's all a bit timey-wimey. But anyway, here we go. Let's press on. Alan, you've been doing a new sort of podcasty type thing, haven't you?
Yeah, I was on holiday. And back in the beginning of July, 1st of July, I was sitting by the pool and enjoying the sun and a beer and reading Twitter like you do. And I followed this thread where some chap said something about, his name Andrew Wilkinson, and he made some pronouncement about asynchronous voice communication could be huge, and how he wants to talk to people rather than type at people. And someone else pointed out the way most people under 30 use WhatsApp is voice notes, pointing out that people do exactly what this guy suggested, but using WhatsApp. And so I pinged the soothsayer, Stuart Langridge. pointed it out to him, and then we had a conversation back and forth using voice messages, because I've never really done that, like, you know, chatting to someone using that method.
That seems like an odd thing to do to me. Maybe it's because I'm over 30.
I think there's a certain circumstance that makes it appropriate, like if you're walking, then you can actually see where you're going if you're not having to look at a keyboard and type. You can actually talk into your phone, you know, like a telephone, asynchronously, and send messages backwards and forwards. And I mentioned this to a couple of people, and they were like, why don't you just have a phone call? And it's not like that. It's you can have a conversation that lasts a very long time, and I could leave you a message while you're in bed, and you could leave me a message while I'm in a meeting, and we could have a conversation. It's just stretched the timeline. So this got me thinking, maybe I could do some kind of podcast type thing using the audio recorder in an instant messenger application.
You don't mean a podcast like we're doing it now, where you've got several people talking with a delay in between then? You mean just you?
Well, I wasn't sure how it would work, to be honest. I initially just thought, well, you know, I know there is a button in, for example, WhatsApp, as I said, and in Telegram and many other of these clients like Signal. You can press a button and have it just record what you're saying and then let go of the button. And that's it. You've recorded some audio. How is that different from making a podcast, right? And I thought, wouldn't it be cool if I could do that, but distribute it? And then I realized, well, hang on, I can have a channel on Telegram, and I can just record my audio in a channel on Telegram, let go, send it, and then anyone who's in that channel will hear it.
So was this working out, like, how to use the technology to do that, or did you have a podcast format in mind that you hadn't been delivering because podcasting is traditionally not lean? It requires some forethought and effort.
I didn't really have anything in mind initially. I just thought, huh, that's interesting. And sometimes I want to be able to make, you know, pronouncements from on high and, you know, have a one-way conversation with people where I...
From the mind of Alan Pope.
Yeah, exactly. Directly channel the unfettered thoughts of Popey and deliver them directly to your ear holes. And I thought, you know, whatever's on my mind, maybe, you know, it would be like an audio blog, basically. And there have been plenty of apps specifically designed for that allow you to record audio and deliver it. Like Audio Boo is one that I remember. I think it got changed to Audio Boom, but and then got bought by somebody else. But that was very much, you press record, start talking, let go, and then anyone who follows you gets it, podcast style. Now, it's not, you know, the pedants would jump on me and say, it's not a podcast because it's not an RSS feed with enclosures. And I would completely agree with you because I would be the same person. But this isn't that. This is an experiment.
So there are podcasting sort of marathons or sprints, if you like. I forget the name of it, but there's one that runs in November where the idea is that you release a podcast every day throughout November. Is this format conducive to that?
Yeah, so I think you're referring to the audio relation to NaNoWriMo, which is the November writing thing, and other people have created podcasting things where they podcast every day. I know Dave Lee from the Bugcast, friend of mine from school many years ago, he does this in November, and it's a kind of challenge to do them. And it wasn't really specifically for that, but I think it could be used for that. I was trying to make something that was, I have some thoughts, I want to get these thoughts out there, but it's inconvenient for me to sit at a laptop and type. I just want to press a button and the audio be recorded and for me to get it out there as easily as possible. And yeah, you could argue, well, you know, WordPress isn't that hard and there's tools like Fireside and there are plenty of other utilities that allow you to create a, in inverted commas, podcast. But I don't want to do any of the metadata. I don't want to think up episode titles. I don't want to do anything that goes along with creating a podcast. I just literally want to press record, start talking, let go, press send. I might preview it. I might listen to it. In fact, I do listen to it back every time. But what I don't want to do is get bogged down in writing all the metadata that goes with it or doing anything that increases the amount of work on my end.
Right. So you don't want to host a website. You don't want to write show notes. You don't want to have a means of publishing to YouTube and a website and updating all of the social networks and all of that stuff that you have to do. You just want to pump out some audio and there is a micro group that subscribe to listening to what you have to say.
I happen to have chosen Telegram, but I'm sure there are other things I could have chosen. But I chose Telegram because I always have Telegram open. And actually, it's quite conducive to this because the interface on mobile on Telegram, if you hold the audio button down, then it will record for as long as you hold your finger on it. But if you hold it and then slide it up, it locks the audio recording on. And so you could just hold the phone and you don't have to hold your finger on the screen. It just locks the phone in recording mode and it will just carry on recording until you hit stop. And when you hit stop, you can then hit play. Now, there's no editing whatsoever.
So you got to get it right.
So you actually use Telegram as the mechanism by which you record the audio.
Yes, I don't even use an external audio recorder. I don't know even if you can do that to send audio messages. As far as I'm aware, you can only do it inside Telegram. You can attach an MP3, but that's then using two apps. Why would I want to do that? This is super lean. I'm using exactly one application for everything, and that's Telegram. So yeah, I just hold the button down, swipe up, and then start talking. I've done, I think, five of them so far, and they're on a range of subjects. Some of them are like navel gazing. Some of them are talking about Ubuntu. Some of them are talking about the free software community, that kind of stuff. They're whatever I think is something that other people might want to listen to. And sure enough, some of them people don't want to listen to, and that's fair enough. You don't have to listen to all of them. But it was just a way to get my thoughts out.
So how does publishing on something like Telegram let you kind of connect with your audience and get an idea of who's listening and what they liked and what they didn't?
So interestingly, what I thought I'd do is if the audience are listening on Telegram, we might as well have feedback on Telegram. So there's actually two channels. There's one channel, which is broadcast only, which is where the episode goes. And then there's a second channel, which is a chatter, like chat channel, just like any other channel where everyone can just discuss. And so the idea is an episode gets posted in one channel and then people just chat about it in the other channel. And I've certainly had a lot of good feedback. Some of the topics have generated a bunch of discussion from like, friends that I already know, but also new people from the internet who have discovered this thing. And sometimes I've been told, no, you've done that one wrong. You need to change the way you do it, which is great because this is just an experiment and I don't know how to do it. because it's live. It's not like a podcast where you go, oh, I fluffed a line, start that bit again and edit it out, because there's no way to edit this. I just record and go.
Oh, that never happens when you do a proper podcast though, does it?
For many years, we didn't, in inverted commas, edit much the Ubuntu podcast. We did still scrub out the odd flub here and there, and we scrubbed out like bits of dead air and silence and stuff. Whereas with this, you can't do any of that. There's no compression. There's no like EQ. There's nothing. And I'm even just using the microphone that's built into the phone. So it's real like base level.
So you talked about Discovery a little bit earlier. Do you have any concerns that Discovery for new potential listeners is hard?
So one thing you can do is you can link directly to the channel. So with Telegram, you can create a public link. So if you go to t.me/telecast with Popey, it's called Telecast. I thought podcast, Telegram, Telecast sounds good. So I called it Telecast with Popey. And if you go t.me/telecast with Popey, you get to the audio channel where all the, in inverted commas, episodes are. And then a link at the top takes you to the chatter channel, so you can get to both. And I tweet each time I do one of these. And if you click share in the Telegram client and click share on the audio file, it gives you a unique link that goes directly to that audio file. So I can share. So Discovery is made easier if I share it on social media. Plus, other people can share the link with their friends if they want to, if they think other people might be interested in it. And I might blog about my experience once I've been doing this for a while. So that will help Discovery. But the big problem, I think you might be alluding to, is the fact that it's on a closed platform like Telegram. Like, it's not in an RSS feed somewhere that anyone could put into a podcatcher.
Yeah, more not so much that it's closed, more that it's not it's not published in a traditional way that podcasts are distributed. So
it won't be in the iTunes catalog, for example.
Right. Yeah,
but it's not a podcast. So and it's an experiment. And, you know, all of these caveats still apply. I'm trying it out to see if it can work. And so far it seems to have worked, and I've had feedback from people. Yeah, it's a tiny, tiny audience. One thing that is interesting, though, is you get, in inverted commas, metrics, because Telegram tells you how many times each audio file has been played. So I know exactly how many times each of those audio files have been played. Now, I don't know if it's one person listening over and over and over again, or if it really is 600 people have listened to that one episode. That's not visible to me. Now, given the fact there are only 149 people in the channel and one of the episodes has been listened to 600 times, you know, that kind of says that that episode has been listened to 4 times by everyone, or, you know, on average, which I find is interesting anyway. You know, that's an interesting piece of information. Now, the thing is, they're all really short. Most of them are less than 5 minutes long. Only one of them has gone up to 7 minutes. And I don't know how long they will get. And I don't know how long I can sustain talking into a phone solidly with no breaks and, you know, no flubs. A couple of them I've re-recorded because I played it back and it sounded awful and I re-recorded it. One of them I didn't re-record and should have, which everyone told me I should have.
So is there a maximum record length within Telegram?
I don't think so. The longest one I've done so far is 7 minutes, 22 seconds, which is probably about the maximum I'd really want to go. Maybe 10 minutes, the max. I had one that cut out after 3 minutes, but I've been told there's a bug in the Telegram client that if the network drops, it stops recording your audio, even though you don't need the network to record audio. So that could have been a bug, and that's entirely possible because I was in a place with ropey internet, so that's entirely plausible. But if I'm at home and recording, or I've got a solid 4G connection, I should probably be all right.
If this was available, if you could press record and record video off your selfie cam and distribute video in the same way, would that excite you as much as the audio format?
No. I have a face for radio. Nobody needs to see my face. Plus, there's the overhead. It's like vastly more data to send, whereas each of these episodes is approximately 500 kilobytes in size. They're tiny.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So not eating your data.
Yeah, they're super tiny. And I'm not actually sticking to a schedule, so I could do as many of these as I like at 500K a go. You know, that it's nothing. And I do prep these, and I do write some notes, but I try to not. I made the mistake of reading a script once, and that didn't work very well. So I'm trying, but I'm trying all kinds of different things. And I'd love people to have a listen and give me some feedback and tell me what they'd like to hear as well, because I don't know what they want me to talk about. I do want to talk about Ubuntu, but I don't know what bits about Ubuntu to talk about. So if people want to jump in the Telegram channel, which is Telecast with Popey, have a listen and then jump in the chatter channel and let me know. I'd love to hear it.
Cool. Great. Well, thanks very much for telling us.
No worries, I'll get back on holiday.
If you love the command line as much as we do, send us a command that will blow our minds, and we might even mention it on the show. Send your command line love to show@ubuntupodcast.org.
And now it's time for some command line love. And this week, Stuart is providing our love. So what have you been loving, Stuart?
Well, now there's an introduction. I don't get that often. What I've been loving recently is a thing called Netlify, actually. It's a service for deploying static websites. So the sort of thing you can do with GitHub pages or whatever. If you've got plain HTML, CSS, JavaScript, and you want to push it up somewhere that hosts it, you can do it on S3 or you can do it at GitHub or a bunch of other places. Netlify are that with a bunch of other features. But the command line thing... they have a command line tool to work with it. And I only discovered the tool today. And it's really good, basically. The tool they provide allows me to do basically all the administration of all these different sites. I can create new ones. I can sign things up. I can move stuff around. I can do deployments, the whole lot from their command line tool. And I thought it was really nice. When taken in conjunction with the Netlify service as a whole, just two big thumbs up from me, I thought. So if you're looking to... put static websites somewhere, then it's worth looking at Netlify, and their command line tool's really nice.
Cool. What's it called? Is it just called Netlify?
It's called Netlify-CLI, I think. But if you go to, it's linked from netlify.com, but if you go to cli.netlify.com, it's got a bunch of really comprehensive documentation. And it's all based on their API, which is all documented with OpenAPI, and the tool is automatically built from that, so it's always up to date. And there's complete documentation of the API if you want to sack off their command line tool and write your own thing and everything. So, I was just... pretty impressed with the kind of, this is how it's meant to be. Well done. Which is increasingly rare to see, that people bother to provide a command line tool at all or tell you how it works or anything. So I was pretty pleased with it.
Did you know you can come and chat with us and other listeners in between shows? Come and join us in our Telegram group at ubuntupodcast.org/telegram.
And now it's time for all of your wonderful feedback. And first off in the feedback this week, I want to extend a big thanks to everyone in the whole world who sent us the keyboard shortcuts to copy and paste in a Linux terminal. It turns out you can do Control-C and Control-V, you just have to hold shift as well. Who knew?
I was walking along the street listening to the podcast going, you could just do Control-Shift-C, it's not that hard.
So, Laura and I have discussed this, and I don't think we made our point clear. The point about Command-C and Command-V was that it was a familiar two-key strike mechanism to do this, which was why we gravitated to it so quickly, as opposed to having to do the three-key.
Oh, yeah, no, that's really handy on the Mac because it's Command C everywhere. The point is, it's not different in a terminal. They don't use Control C for copy at all. It's Command C, Propeller C, whatever, you know, which I think is dead handy. And that ship has basically sailed for us. Even if we went, okay, it's really annoying that Control C means both kill this thing in a terminal and copy. So what we'd have to do is go back in time about 40 years and then make it so copying was done with Alt C and pasting was Alt V. And, you know, we missed the boat on that one. We should go back to the old DOS days with Shift Insert, as you mentioned.
You can use that as well, yeah.
Do you still use it?
Yeah, I use shift delete and shift insert all the time.
Party on, Gorilla Dog Bass. I can't believe you're still doing this.
I use, like, when I'm editing in Vim, because you've got your own yank and paste shortcuts in Vim, if I want to paste something from the clipboard outside of Vim, I always use shift and insert to do that. It's just muscle memory for me now.
Yeah.
When I'm editing in Vim, I've already lost, in my opinion.
Anyway, we've got some feedback to talk about. A listener who wishes to keep their name to themselves emailed us to show@ubuntupodcast.org.
In a recent episode, you asked to hear from people who still use 32-bit Ubuntu. I have two machines running Ubuntu Mate 18.04, woohoo, one desktop and one laptop. I use them for email, web browsing, editing text files, compiling C programs, and basic features in LibreOffice. I do not use a 64-bit operating system because these machines are not capable of it. It seems wasteful to discard them when they are still working. I am, of course, concerned to learn that they might not be receiving all the necessary security updates. Should I be thinking about moving to another distribution before the support of Ubuntu Mate 18.04 stops? I need a distribution with a screen reader that works easily. I'm blind. Should I think about moving to the Raspberry Pi 4 so I can move to a modern hardware at a modest cost? Right. Now, these are a few things that I know a little bit about. By all means, stick with Ubuntu Mate if it's working for you from your accessibility point of view. We've got another 2 years of support there. So you'll be fine in as much attention that is being given to the 32-bit archive there. Obviously, if a library has a vulnerability, the hope is that in most cases, those security patches will in fact fix the issue on all of the architectures. But if you're looking for somewhere else to go, there is a Debian-based distribution that I'm just blanking on the name. So what I'll do is this. There is a Debian-based distribution put together by a French organization specifically for the visually impaired community. And it's based on the Mate desktop with a whole bunch of accessibility embellishments. I forget the name, but I will put the details in this feedback section of Season 12, Episode 16 of our show notes for you.
Excellent. Bibbit left a comment on our website, ubuntupodcast.org.
What a pleasant surprise to have Dr. Laura back. I hope this is not a one-off, although it will be hard for someone as educated as her to slum it with the rest of you non-doctors. Now, I have to say, yeah, I feel an entirely inadequate relationship, entirely inadequate replacement for Laura, who was great. It was marvellous to hear Dr. Laura back on the show. So, sorry about that.
And I think that Laura will be making occasional appearances on the podcast. We've not worked out exactly what yet, but occasional appearances are definitely something we're discussing.
Bryson emailed us.
I haven't heard you talk about BSD or any of the BSD flavors, and I wonder why. I think the clue's in the name of the podcast.
I was just going to say that.
Perhaps it's because I haven't been listening for long, just 6 months, and I'm still working my way through season 11. I'm new to Linux, and I've found Ubuntu to be almost everything I need, but sometimes I like a challenge, and BSD looks like it has a nice community and documentation. What are your thoughts on BSD and any of the flavors?
Well, I think they hit the nail on the head there when they said, I found Ubuntu to be almost everything I need. So I've never even looked into BSD because I've never needed anything more than Linux or anything other than Linux gives me, which is everything.
I haven't used a BSD since I worked for Sun Microsystems and supported Sun OS. So some time since I've used a BSD. But he's also hit the nail on the head with the fact that the BSD documentation is indeed absolutely fabulous.
And Stephen Boston posted on our Facebook page.
I had to stop listening to this interesting podcast because the music drives me nuts. Really, it's that bad, I say.
Well, that's unfortunate. Well, I think we've lost a listener because we won't be changing the theme tune.
12 seasons in. No, this is also we're not going to see an Ubuntu podcast rebrand any point soon.
We do discuss every year when we have our curry chat. We always say, are we going to change the theme tune this year? No, and we move on.
Do you tweet? Follow at Ubuntu Podcast and like or retweet our tweets so all your Twitter buddies can find us.
And that's all for episode 16. Thanks very much for listening. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can do so in all of the usual ways, and the usual ways are thus. You could email to show@ubuntupodcast.org. You could tweet at Ubuntu Podcast on Twitter. You could come and chat with us in our Telegram group. That's at ubuntupodcast.org/telegram. You can also come and leave rude comments on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/ubuntupodcast. Until next time, fare thee well, everybody.